I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Oh my gosh, it's time for the Wednesday Night Delight, the NXT After Show, exclusively at AfterBuzz TV, wrestling and sport. Hello everyone, my name is Hobo Boyz, and I'm moderating this, captaining this ship, one half the 1-2 punch of our wrestling coverage with AEW Dynamite After Show coming on right after this. But with NXT, the Performance Center was lit with matches and promos and character developments. Oh my, I have an all-star wrestling panel to help me walk me through this. Introducing first, this guy's a stand-up comedian like me, and he wrestles unlike me. Give it up for Hamza Khan, everybody.
What's up, guys? What's up, guys? Before we even move on, I just want to say one thing real quick. Let me see. Hey! Happy birthday to you.
Oh, man. It's okay. It's...
It's for you, Flobo. Happy birthday, brother.
Is it your birthday?
Tomorrow would be, but it's cool. Also in the booth, this man is formerly known as Hobo around these parts, but he is an expert and a wrestler in his own right. Give her Brandon Taylor.
Gosh, it's a heck of a privilege to be back. I can't believe that it's been as long as it has. It's probably been about 2 years since I've done an NXT after show, a show that I helped to sort of put on the map here at AfterBuzz TV, and I'm really happy to be back. The current talent roster at NXT is absolutely booming and buzzing, and I'm happy to cover it here tonight for AfterBuzz TV.
Yeah, shout out to Emily May, who's on assignment this evening, but that's okay. Because we got the boys! Speaking of guys doing crazy things, our opening segment today, Damian Priest got somehow in between a car door and a car. I understand he was hurt, but I'm not sure quite how, but Cameron Grimes is bloating about it. Opening contest, Damian Priest and Cameron Grimes. I'm starting to think that Damian Priest will be coming around the corner with a face turn. Hamza, thoughts about the match and my boy, Damian Priest?
It's cool. I mean, it did what it had to do, right?
It's cool.
It's pretty decent. Decent storytelling. It is what it is. It was there for a reason, and that reason was fulfilled. They're going for the whole backbroken gimmick thing, so I don't know how that kind of works in wrestling, because most of the moves that we take are landing on our back. Right. I actually threw out my back 4 days ago carrying groceries, so I don't know how he continued that match. But yeah, I mean, it was cool overall. I liked it. I kind of liked the direction it was going. I opened my mind to it a little bit, and when I opened my mind, I received it well.
Well, did it bother you, Brandon, that like Damian Priest was like the aggressor 2 weeks ago in your house, being like, "Mwah, Finn Balor." Now he's like, "Oh no, Cameron Grimes." Does that make sense?
Yeah, I don't think we're actually doing Damian Priest any favors by trying to get him sympathy. I think this guy has to be the aggressor. He's been the aggressor. He has to continue to be the aggressor. He's going to drive an aggressive car. He's going to be aggressive in the ring. I don't have any sympathy for him. I shouldn't have to develop sympathy for him. And them... The commentary team saying that it was his ribs that were bothering him, and yet he's actually placing his hand on his SI joint, which is a very sensitive part of the body. I don't think there is enough cohesion in the storytelling that is taking place. But Cameron Grimes is the most unlikable guy you can imagine. Reminds me so much of Jeff Jarrett back in his heyday that I'm in on Cameron Grimes, but I don't think Damian Priest is the right foil.
So Cameron Grimes, I have to say, is the baddest chimney sweep on the bayou. He's not getting a lot of favor on the internet. Hamza Khan, why is that? Why don't we like Cameron Grimes collectively as internet fans?
I think it's just his look, man. I guess that's got to be it, because I think he's very talented, the dude is.
Trevor Lee is there.
He's a chimney sweeper? I didn't know that. That's pretty hilarious. I'm sorry. That's a great gimmick, chimney sweeper. Okay, I'll be an ITT tech guy. ITT tech, let it come through the... Okay. I don't know. I like them. I actually do like him. Every time he comes out, he always impresses me. His movesets are great. He's really good at wrestling. So I'm not really sure why. I mean, if his job is to be unlikable, then kudos to him. He's doing a great job.
All right. Do you guys think that's going to be a setup thing? This was like a setup to help the character shift? Or is this going to be the next feud in the undercard? Damian Priest and Cameron Grimes.
Ooh, character shift. That's what I want to go with.
Okay.
I mean, if it is going to be a full-on program, then Damian Priest has got to get some heat. He's got to look at least a little bit aggressive. And he was just floundering tonight. He was playing catch up. He was trying to catch Grimes, and Grimes caught him off guard. And I don't think the story is working. I'm not feeling it.
Can I pick your brain then? If you're Damian Priest, how do you get, knowing that what happened tonight, like you've been taped up and like, oh my gosh, Cameron Grimes is too strong. How do you get that aggression back next week? If you're Damian Priest.
next week you got to come out and you've got to, if it's in a match, you have to take control early. And if it's not in a match, then you just got to lay him out. But that's the thing, is like, you can't be too aggressive against a Cameron Grimes, because then the audience starts to feel bad for Cameron Grimes. Damian Priest is big, he's bad. So if there's too much aggression, then it makes Grimes get sympathy. So you can't have Grimes get too much sympathy, but it's a delicate balance. And that's why I don't think this is going to really work in a long-term setting. Maybe for tonight. And I want to know what Cameron Grimes did. What did he do to injure Damian Priest? How did he do that? Did he have a loaded something, a shillelagh, something? What did he do?
It was a hat trick. Hamza, let me ask you the same question. If you're Damian Priest, what do you gotta do?
I don't know. I mean, the first thing he needs to do is ask Cameron Grimes what conditioner he uses, because that man's hair is flawless. It's
the
so
volume,
shiny.
Right?
Like, dude, whoa. I'm looking at it like, what can I do to get some of that? Because that's I mean, Flobo, going back to your point, man, it's going to be kind of hard to shift this, because you want to care about Damian Priest, but he's come off as this guy that you shouldn't care about. And not to mention his gimmick, it's supposed to be like kind of a loner vampire style. So you don't really care about vampires, right? You just see them go through emotionless, soulless. He should be Johnny Gargano. There you go. What Johnny Gargano is doing.
And Hamza Khan with the low blow. He has a family, Hamza. Well, let's talk about things that are also aggressive. Timothy Thatcher and his Thatcher's Catch Can School. We've been seeing these promos a couple of weeks. I guess I thought it was going to announce a stable, but I guess it doesn't matter who the students are, just showing how tough Timothy Thatcher is. He's scary. Is it something that's going to work? I understand that we don't have the fan reaction. We don't have the same kind of environment. We're doing promos and gimmicks and vignettes to get everyone over. But has Timothy got the goods? Hamza, let me ask you first.
I feel like he can definitely deliver it. He does have the goods to do so. However, it's like we said last week, it seems Drew Gulacky was the word that we said, right? Drew Gulacky.
Yeah,
and Gulacky. Typically what it seems like to me is WWE will see an idea and they won't really let someone do it or execute it, the people who know how to do it, and they'll take that exact same idea and they'll apply it to another wrestler down the line so they can have their own like spin on it and their own version of doing it. And that's kind of what
Palumbo
like
the biker. I know, bro. I totally know that. Yeah.
That's exactly what I'm talking about, right? it's just taking someone's gimmick and giving it to someone else. Thatcher can definitely make it work. Dude is talented. We all know this. But it just seems like, again, it's just a copy and paste of what Drew Gulak's already been doing or trying to do.
Yeah, that's a good point, Brandon. Like, catch point, no, not to be punny, but it sounds a lot more catchier than Thatcher's Catch Can. How do you make it different? How do you make it fresh?
It's funny that you bring up Drew Gulak, because I know Tim Thatcher and Drew Gulak from their time at Championship Wrestling from Hollywood as the tag team champions. Those two guys have a very compatible and similar style, and I think that these packages that they're trying to do on Tim Thatcher to make him interesting are a double-edged sword. Yes, they make him interesting. Yes, they put his skill on display, but at the same time, why is he letting the cat out of the bag? Why is he showing people that he could be potentially paired against his own tricks? Right. I don't think they're thinking too far ahead. That's why they're not featuring anybody's faces. I would like to see this Catch Point stable. I would like to see that. That is some fantastic wrestling, some traditional styled wrestling. Yeah. And you just have to let the people who know how to do it develop it over time in a WWE way. You have all the people who are in Catch Point or were in Catch Point at some time in individual places. Naturally, it may start to form together if each one of them starts using their styles individually, but then sort of conglomerate into a faction. It could happen potentially, though it's not going to be today and it's not going to be tomorrow.
That's a good point. So I like NXT UK back when it was on full bore for that same kind of that respect for the craft. But I've noticed NXT as it's grown, even on USA, there are some elements of entertainment. For example, about a month and a half ago, there was a bro show, which wouldn't have been NXT in 2016. Mm-hmm. A little bit more of an entertainment side there. As someone who's a big fan of teams like Birch and Lorcan, I mean, don't we have to make it a little bit more fancy and pizzazz it up? You know what I mean? Not worry so much about the wrestling, even though it's kind of counterintuitive for that brand.
I mean, yeah, we have to. We have to make it entertaining. We have to make it match what the other stuff on TV is doing, right? Before it was a WWE Network product. So at that point, all you're doing is pleasing the WWE Network fans. At this point, you're having to please the fans along with the boardroom at USA and the advertisers. And we have to cater to all these different people. And, you know, it's kind of where we're at right now is we have to cater to everybody. So they have to start doing things that they typically wouldn't do, which is what we're seeing now.
True. You know, we're also seeing now the second installment of Undisputed Therapy. Man, poor Roderick Strong, man, gets to a trunk one time and he's having these trunk fears. And I guess Kyle O'Reilly came forward and admitted that he was Kyle O'Reilly, which I wasn't fooled for a second. But
I was fooled. I actually was fooled. A friend of mine pointed out, do you know who that is with the beard? I'm like, who is that with the beard? It's Kyle O'Reilly.
No. Well, like the best buds ever, Adam Cole goes, Jakira, you got a match with Dexter Lumis. Let's go to that match right now. Dexter Lumis at Undisputed Therapy. Now, we talked about this before, Brad. I'm going to ask you this because you're our guest today, about having these dominant, antagonistic heel teams. We don't use those terms anymore. Having something that these guys to do week to week. And sometimes, like the inner circle in AEW, they got to be put in this comedic kind of position to make sure they're in a holding pattern. Did this work? The idea of Undisputed Therapy, setting up the match with Dexter Lumis, and Dexter Lumis' rise being a new superstar.
What it's trying to do is just stretch time. That's all that these segments are trying to do. They're trying to add an entertainment value while not necessarily hot-shotting to match after match after match. And in that way, I think it is working because this group, the Undisputed Era, is so strong together. If you just put a camera on them, they're going to deliver. They're going to entertain. And it doesn't take away anything from Dexter Lumis. In fact, it actually builds him up as being somebody that the Undisputed Era is afraid of. It gives him a mental advantage over at least one of the four Undisputed Era participants, and perhaps more than that, because by the end of the night, Bob Fish was running away.
Yeah, without his tattoo. Hamza, thoughts about this? The Undisputed Therapy, the Dexter Lumis match, and Roderick Strong.
I mean, you know, from last week, I'm not a big fan of this therapy session and the way they're trying to execute it. It's comedy's not for everyone, like I mentioned it. So instead of repeating what I said last week, let me point out some things I did actually like about this. So I like the storytelling behind it, right? I like the way they're trying to build up everybody. It's almost like Undisputed Era. All the guys are like, we're tough. We can take anyone. Go out there and handle your business against Lumis. And then as it comes time for one of them to step in the ring with him, they get a little scared and they seem a little nervous. And it's just a funny way to show, you know, a little bit of his power and what he can offer. I also like the fact that they ran away. So it led to a strap match next week. So again, storytelling, and I can always appreciate storytelling. So I'm hoping that it leads to more shenanigans now at this point with the strap match, maybe a cage match down the line, who knows, a Hell in a Cell, let's do something special with it. But you know, if they're telling a story, I'm going to ride it and I'm going to see where it leads.
Quick question for both of you. What kind of strap matches do you prefer? Classic pin or submission or the old school hit all four corners? I'm just curious.
Brandon, I'll let you go first.
Yeah, I like the four corners myself. There's an added visual element that I think works for a live audience that also works for a television audience, because you, in an arena style, you have to cater to the farthest seat away from the ring. So in a four corners match, the person who is in the absolute furthest corner of the arena can see the action in the ring and follow along and can follow the win.
Agreed. 100%. I mean, typically you need to be close to an opponent to pin them or submit them. So therefore a strap doesn't really come into play, I guess, in this kind of a match, right? But if you wanted to come into play, you would do the four corners, because that means you have to leave your opponent and get there, you know, to hit all the corners in order for them to not pull you back. And it creates a little bit more gimmick around the match.
See, I'm glad I asked you guys, because I wonder why the switch was. But it's a quick detour in the chat here. Thanks to everyone in the chat hanging out. Hey, with Wong, Zeno, Hour, Dang, and Q, thank you so much for the birthday wishes. Everyone's loving Hobo for some reason. All the Hobo love has got me feeling some type of way.
Absence makes the heart grow fonder. That is the key to love, baby. Everybody misses that dad that they never had.
Yikes. Wow, Father's Day was Sunday. So also outside the chat there. And just real quick, if you guys are watching the show right now, make sure you hit that like button, like, comment, subscribe. After Buzz TV Wrestling and Sports. And if you're like me, you love the audio version, we're talking iTunes, Apple Podcasts now, they changed the name, or Spotify, leave a review, 5 stars, because 1 through 4 is just trash. And we read all the reviews, and if they're pretty sad, we cry about it. But no real talk, I want to say thank you so much from the bottom of my heart for making us ESPN TV Talk. Let's talk about quickly the tag team division. I know we had a little bit of a story beat with that, with Malcolm Bivens Incorporated. It looks like a big tag team storm is brewing. I'm glad, because it feels like those tag belts were neglected the most on NXT. I want to ask you first, Hamza, thoughts about the developments, getting new teams involved, and what about teams that had a shot that didn't quite hit the promised land, like my boys Birch and Lorcan, man?
Well, I mean, you can still do something with these teams, right? They're not counted out. We just don't know that they're not going to end up getting the title. Like, that's pretty obvious at this point. I'm liking the direction it's going. Like I've told you before, I love tag team wrestling. The two Indian guys, I keep forgetting their name, which is weird because I understand what they say when
Gushir?
They speak. What's
Gushir?
That? Gushir. There you go. They're really like intimidating looking dudes. Like, they're big guys. They look scary. They look like they can kick anybody's ass in the ring. The only thing is when they start speaking Hindi, it kind of reminds me of like my dad speaking to me. So it's like,
yeah, it's dad so, jokes like, never get over.
To me, the language itself is so innocent to me and stuff. So it just, for me, when I hear Asuka going Japanese, I'm like, oh, that's some rage right there. But I don't know what she's saying. But when right. they talk, it's like, oh, okay, a 5-year-old just said that to me yesterday. Cool.
Nice. It's like dad stuff. Like, oh, yeah. Man. Like, heat this house. Close the door. Are you raising
are
the
you a doctor yet? That's all I heard.
Oh, I didn't even know that. That's cool, man. That's awesome. Brandon, thoughts about the tag team division right now on NXT?
You know, back in my day, you didn't need a belt to actually make a tag team program. I'm just saying.
Hot takes.
I want to see tag teams come in and try and make themselves superior without having to get their hand on the tag team title. The tag team titles are not the measure by a great tag team. Great tag teams have held the tag team championships, but that is not the measure of greatness. There are great tag teams that have not held the championships. I want to see them try to prove that they are the best, not that they are the champions.
Fair enough. Dylan Matthews in the chat says, shout out to Papa Hamza. I'm going to ask you guys a question, and this is not how I feel. I'm going to say this is my disclaimer. This is just an opinion I've seen about tag team wrestling in general, especially on national television, and that it is very formulaic, if you will. Face team takes like some damage. There is a hot tag, clothesline, signature move, and then there's a thing, right? How, if you're NXT now, you have a blank slate. Everyone, we don't know what the rosters are. You have new teams introduced. How do you make your tag team division stand out within a company with three other tag team divisions?
Shit. I mean, you do kind of what's her name? Cadence Carter and Casey Kasten.
Cadence Carter and Kasten, yeah.
What they did today earlier, right? First of all, hey, what's up, Dylan Matthews? but no, I like what they were doing, because them two, you can tell, were like out of their league when they're in the ring. And I was like, okay, what is this? Let's get this over with. They did a few little moves where they tried to come up with new style of wrestling. They helped each other out. They had a cute little ways of getting inside of the ring and whatnot. And that's what I want to see, something kind of unique, what the New Day does, right? Like, just something unique, something different. What some new tag team, double team moves we can look at? Something of that nature could definitely make this interesting, in my opinion, something we haven't seen before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I'm just taking your brand name, heavy.
Staying unique in moveset is very important, but you only need maybe one or two things. I think it's actually the energy you bring to the ring. People remember how you make them feel, not necessarily the moves that you do. So I think they actually should be teaching the younger guys to stick more to their guns. Who are you in the ring? Remind the people that you are an individual in the ring. You are not a wrestler. You are an entity, and you have to be unique and true to the motivations of that entity.
Right.
Yo, Brandon, are you going to release some self-motivation tapes? Because I would definitely appreciate that, man. You are an entity. You can do it, bro.
You got to follow me on Patreon for that. Patreon.com/sandwichchamp for all of your motivational needs.
Oh, yeah, I have a bookmark, but I'm also poor, so I haven't done it yet. If you have money, make sure you do. Say it with Champ.
Hey, give him a birthday subscription. There you go.
That's yeah, exactly. It. That's it.
But you talked about Casey Catanzaro and Caden Carter. This last December, I sat there when we were in a studio, like a real one, and I said, Caden Carter is going to be my breakout talent of the year. I'm still holding out faith. Tag team match. I was very, very impressed. Small storyline. And to your point earlier, this is a cool undercard women's tag team feud. Dakota Kai, Raquel Gonzalez. I think everyone kind of went there, even though Dakota got the result. Now, Hamza, let me ask you this. Casey Catanzaro and Caden Carter, they're a tag team, but do they feel like a tag team?
No. They definitely tried to feel like a tag team, though, so I give them A for effort. I like the both the ladies, so I can't. It's hard for me to be hard on them because I like them and I know they're trying. It is again a developmental brand, even though if you don't want to call it that. So
I don't.
What they're there for a reason. They did what they were asked to do, and I can't knock them for that. As far as an actual tag team is concerned, no, I don't see this going in any direction that way because it just didn't click. And I think it was, and I put this down in my notes. I think they were just lacking a lot of energy, And Brandon said it. You have to get people to feel something, and their moves are good. They knew what they were doing as far as technique was concerned, but as far as the energy and the passion is there, it was missing for me. It was really was.
Zeno in the chat says follow Hobo and OnlyFans. Brandon, same question for you, man. Thoughts about them as a tag team? Not OnlyFans. Thoughts about them as a tag team?
You've got two tag teams here that are sort of finding their respective groove, but I think they're actually doing a really good job in finding ways to make it work for themselves. There's a certain fluidity involved in the tag teams themselves that's necessary. A tag team is two people coming together, but working together as a unit in order to achieve the same goal. They have a game plan that they're aware of, and they try to execute that game plan. And I think both of these teams were successful in that way. Maybe one team is going to have a little bit more longevity than the other, but it doesn't take away from what they were able to accomplish. And I'd say that this was a tag team match.
Okay, Invisible Imaginary Booker. Casey Catanzaro and Caden Carter, do you keep them as tags? Do you make sure they go ahead separate ways as singles? Or an alliance where they come together every so often, but they are
I would say that they stay together. They're both learning. They're both learning from each other in different ways, and they're growing in different ways. So it's good to put an underdog team together so that the audience can see them work together to grow and change and adapt in this very difficult landscape.
Interesting. Invisible Booker, Hamza, what do you think?
I respectfully disagree. I will separate the two. I think Caden has a long way to go. I think she's going to be a star. I think she has a great look. I think she can just get a little bit of confidence behind her. She'd be great. Casey, on the other hand, as much as I love the girl, I think she's mainly there for a special prop to do some kind of a weird ring thing at a Royal Rumble or something like that. She's like a special attraction. There you go. Not a prop. Special attraction.
She's got those high spots.
Yeah, do some high spots, climbing the ropes, do over the barricade, something. I don't know. But do a green mist with a face mask on. Who knows? Something, all that can work.
Hey, that is not COVID friendly. No more misting. You can't do that anymore. That's not cool.
But anyways, it's like I think they're cool right now the way they are, but definitely split them up.
Wow. For what it's worth, I always saw Caden Carter as a single star, but I didn't mind the match tonight because I was more optimistic about a full-on women's tag division, so I'm willing to allow it, But that's just me personally. Moving on, somebody that I am not quite sold on, but the whole world is, Karrion Kross had a match against my boy, Bronson Reed, the former Jonah Rock, and Jonah tried his hardest, but he got flattened by the guy that comes out with the best entrance in the game today. Can't wait for the Broadway production of it. Brandon, let me ask you this. Karrion Kross, he's on his way up. Where to?
And that, I think, is maybe the most important question in NXT right now. I know Karrion Kross. I've known Karrion Kross pretty much the entirety of his career. And that being said, I'm seeing exactly what he has done on the independent scene right now in NXT with a higher budget. I'm not sure if he has the longevity to keep this interesting for a longer period of time than maybe the next 6 months. He's got to change in some way. He's got to grow and show that he does not have a ceiling. And I'm not 100% sure that is the case.
Are we talking about in-ring work or talking about the actual, the persona? What exactly is what we
both
see?
If this is all that he has, if this is all that he's ever shown to anybody in the wrestling world, it's difficult to tell what is in his bag, so to speak, what is in his work bag that he has that nobody has seen before. So I'm skeptical about how this is going to work long-term.
Hamza, Karrion Kross.
I was loving it until Mr. Hobo started talking, and now I'm skeptical too. Thinking in the future.
See, he motivates you to do anything you want.
Guys, seriously, this self-help book is really helping me.
Sandwich champ. That's the idea.
Right. No, but it's I was living in the moment, I guess you can say, and I was definitely enjoying everything about it. I mean, liking the entrances. I love Scarlett. I keep saying this, but she's a great, like, addition to everything he has going on. She does everything very well. Her movements and everything are crazy. Her facials are crazy. Her singing the entrance while coming out is crazy. I like it. And I was really enjoying it for the moment, and I started thinking in the future, right? It's like, think about after this corona stuff is over, going back to work, and you're like, oh no, I was enjoying my time off, but what's going to happen in the future? And right. That's what you just did for me right now. You just made me think in the future. So I hope
Sorry?
He can keep it up. Yeah, I really do hope he can keep it up, because I'm enjoying it. I'm liking it. I'm loving it, actually. So yeah. I'm hoping he can keep it up.
The entrance is like, I can't knock an entrance. They're great, especially now when you have confined spaces. I wouldn't lip sync my own song. I think that's kind of cheesy, but whatever. That's besides the point. What I am concerned about is the matches that Karrion actually had when the bell went off weren't overly dominant. I felt like he should have like went over people. Like his match with your boy Leon Ruff should have been over like in 15 seconds or less. It should have been, you know, but he like really gave him shine, and Leo Ruff was outweighed by like, what, 100 pounds, 80 yeah. pounds. So I start to wonder, like, what kind of position is he going to be? North American title? Is he going to the main event scene? Is he a powerhouse guy? Is he, like, an intimidation psychological guy? I'm not quite sure what Karrion Kross is, but the chat loves him. The internet loves him. And I hope the best for him, really, you know, being in the NXT brand. But I don't know. But Bronson Reed, I think he's going to be around for a long time. I think he sold his moves pretty well. I mean, I like to have a big guy. I like thick boys as far as in-ring workers. I think we need some more hosses on the brand, but that's just me. Quick thoughts about that?
Sorry, go ahead, Brandon. Go ahead.
I was just going to say that I am a bigger guy myself, relatively undersized in height, but in power, I'm pretty. I got some power. So I like seeing guys that have that ability. But as far as this match goes, this whole match was a dud, unfortunately. I think if Jonah Rock's going to come out and try and get that win back that he already lost, he's got to be way more aggressive, and he's got to at least get relatively close to getting that win back versus Karrion Kross. Never once was Karrion Kross in danger of losing, and I think that really hurt the way this match was supposed to feel, like a semi-grudge match. Jonah Rock got dusted. He absolutely got humiliated in there.
Jonah Rock got dusted. I was waiting for the Rock. Okay. I'm sorry. Real quick thoughts, man.
To be honest, the match was cool. It was good the way it was. I really enjoyed that German suplex stand-up aggression part. That part was intense, and I enjoyed it. But I agree with Brandon here. It was kind of a miss. Specifically, the ending was very like not climactic. Anticlimactic. There you go. You expected him to be like really choked out, and I can see him still breathing while he's supposed to be being choked out, and it was just kind of like, okay, yeah, like you saw the choke like right here, and he's like, and then when he let go, he was like,
that's the worst impression. fair enough.
A little bit of realism, please.
I want realism in my wrestling, please.
If this face is not purple, I don't want it.
Fair enough. Sure.
I'm down with that. I'm way down with that.
You want live murder every Wednesday on USA Network. All right. So
I would never do anything to anyone that I wouldn't expect them to do to me. I want them to choke me the heck out in there or die trying.
Right.
All right, guys in the chat, submission match. You against Hobo. Just send a couple money to my Patreon because I have one too, apparently. All right. So women's division gets a shakeup here tonight as Robert Stone tries to recruit Rhea Ripley once more, and she's not having it. And we had a match featuring Aaliyah, who is now on TV more than Robert Stone's former client, Chelsea Green, getting shot by Rhea Ripley. But guess what? William Regal's like, yo, we get a rematch 2-on-1. Now let's talk about the Robert Stone brand. He's been flailing about. He's been trying to get a new suit purchase. Hamza Khan, thoughts about this match in this division?
He threw a shoe. He threw a shoe at Rhea Ripley. He picked up a shoe, which is what my people do, right? Have you seen that one with George Bush and he's giving a speech and someone throws a shoe? Yeah, and that was Robert Stone in the audience. I swear to God.
You're going to get us canceled.
At first, I was wondering what they were trying to do with all of this. I was wondering what they're trying to do with all this. And then Robert Stone comes out. This is the second week in a row. He's made me laugh. And yeah. And I forgot Rhea Ripley was in the ring, and she's supposed to be the superstar, right? So yeah. I like the direction it's going. I feel like they took what a little bit of crap that they were given, and they're trying to make it shine. And I enjoyed it. He threw a shoe at the girl. Like,
Who throws a shoe, honestly? Rhea Ripley. I mean, thought she was kind of lost after losing NXT title, losing a rematch at In Your House, but she's on TV, Brandon. But yeah, Robert Stone, Aaliyah, them together, and Rhea Ripley. Is this the right match right now?
Why not? Robert Stone is poised to be the great American comeback. Everybody loves a comeback. He was drinking out of a paper bag, falling down, vomiting all over himself. What a comeback this is going to be. He's just got to get that one client, that one win, and it'll be all the way to the penthouse, baby. Robert Stone's coming back. But first, he's got to get his ass kicked by Rhea Ripley.
Yeah. You went full David Marquez there. It's going to be awesome by Rhea Ripley. But the match is going to be solid, right? Rhea Ripley is a beast. Aaliyah hasn't really won a match in feud forever. The thing is, though, is Robert Stone the right guy for Aaliyah? Are we just teasing Aaliyah's trajectory, or is she going to have something to do finally?
I feel like it's going to be something. Yeah. I think it's going to be something. I do.
Got to be starting something. Yeah.
Speaking about being in danger, though, I don't think Rhea Ripley's in danger next week at all.
No.
I don't know. There could be more shoes. There could be harder shoes. There could be platform shoes.
Hey, that guy that told us that on Twitter that he needs to make a faction, it could be Aaliyah and his two shoes, you know, in a faction. There you go.
I have to hear what Wong said about that. next week is the Great American Bash. I want to ask you this just real quickly. I know the Great American Bash. I was a fan of the WWE version because they went super American with like flags, like stars in your face and stuff. But it is a pay-per-view with type tradition. I guess taking AEW's cue of having themed nights. Is there any kind of expectation you're looking for next week? I'm sorry, you, Hamza, besides the matches that are going to be announced over the past six or 7 days, rather it's like the look, the feel, the aesthetic of the Great American Bash in 2020.
It'd be nice to see it. It'd be nice to see it because if I'm thinking logically about what's going on in the world right now, and America, even though I love being here and I love this country and we know it's a great country, isn't always being looked at in the best light lately. So I'm hoping that this is a way for them to do the right thing and put on a showcase to show us why we love this country so much, what it is that brings us all together. And if they really do justice by this Great American Bash, like just the name behind it, it can definitely be a good thing to watch. Now I'll tune in. I'm going to tune in excitingly regardless. I just hope they do right by it.
So want some classic American propaganda. Me too, man. Brandon, thoughts?
That's what brought me here in the 90s.
A pamphlet. Yeah.
Yeah. I too miss the JBL days of the Great American Bash.
Yeah.
White supremacy and blood everywhere.
Apple pie, whatever.
I do not know what to expect. I don't know if we're in that place right now where we can go full propaganda pro USA, because I think we're having that shoved down our throats in some other places and it's got a bad taste. But I mean, we'll see how it goes. I too like a theme night. You know, you go to a restaurant, they got a special on the menu. Next week, the special is Great American Bash.
Are you a special guy? Do you have your regular stuff? Like, no, just chicken tenders. I'm good. Like, what's
pretty much regular stuff?
Yeah, man. I'm telling you, once you get a certain age, like, I don't want to be bothered with your fancy specials. I want just what I order. I'm looking forward to it too because it's weird because there's a lot of the WCW names people want, like Halloween Havoc or even a Super Brawl. I'm still holding out hope for a Slamboree. I want a Slamboree. I'm not sure if AEW has that one, but they don't. For some reason, I will pay money for a Slamboree, but that's just me.
Maybe they repackage America and we see a heel turn. A whole new version of America, heel turn. That'd be awesome.
Comes out singing his own theme song. Oh, say.
I am the real American now. I am Captain America.
All right, our main event is actually stage one of this title unification thing. North American titles on the line. Johnny Gargano, Finn Balor, and Keith Lee, the current North American champion. Titles on the line. Winner gets to go face Adam Cole, baby, for both belts. Now, Keith Lee walked in the champ, and he walked out the champ. Before I get into my tirade and rant, Brandon, thoughts about the match and thoughts about Keith Lee. Moving on to Adam Cole, baby.
I thought this was actually one of the best three-way matches that I've seen in a long time. each opponent brought their best to this situation. The two smaller guys were fast, and they were able to evade very easily, and Keith Lee was extremely strong with bursts of speed, and that's what you want to see with Keith Lee. I don't want to see sustained running. That's not for a big man to do, and it took a lot of work to bring Keith Lee down, and a big man consumes a lot of energy and a lot of oxygen, so that's what the smaller competitors did. They broke him down over time. That's what you do.
Fair enough. Hamza.
It was a great match. It was very creative. The beginning of it, when they couldn't really take Keith Lee down and they had to work together to do so. In fact, I think in the future, and you guys are definitely going to disagree with me, but I can see Gargano and Balor being a tag team because they looked exactly the same with two different colors on, white and black. See the faces? Our listeners can't see the faces, but it's that one emoji that looks like it's about to throw up. That's the faces we're getting right now.
That's the emoji.
Yeah. But no,
if my face to you with thumbs down, it would do that.
No, I mean, it was a great match overall. It did what it needed to do. Keith Lee retained, which I expected him to do. If they really are trying to push him to the moon, he's going to get the title against Boom. What the heck is his name? Adam Cole.
I'm like, NXT champion? Who?
Doesn't he wrestle every now and then?
Who's that clown? Yes.
I could see it going in a good direction. If they end this correctly, and hopefully they don't do any shenanigans, and Keith Lee can just take both belts, it'll definitely do a right by him. It'll make him stronger. It'll make him come off as someone to be, you know, watch out for. And then Cole can move on to the main roster.
Well, I mean, shenanigans are pretty much built in. I mean, a couple of weeks ago, if not last week, Keith Lee broke that hourglass from Karrion Kross. Oh, could call come back to bottom next week against that match. But here's my deal. Okay, I am a Balor fan, a Balor super fan. I followed him in Japan and on the plane from Japan, and then sometimes he wasn't in Japan. And in WWE and Raw and SmackDown, NXT, the first time, the second time, he comes back. He's going to be like, my name is the Prince, and finger guns, and oh my gosh, and kicks and flips, 1916. He's a guy, title match in October, doesn't get it, goes in hiding. Comes out, beats Damian Priest because he hits him in the leg. Here's a chance for him to have some kind of redemption. He may not win the match, but he has to be rolled outside while Gargano took the loss. But it didn't happen that way. Fergal got pinned clean as a whistle right there for all of us to see. This guy is a legend. I like Keith Lee. I hate what happened to Balor. I'm both happy and mad at the same time.
That's quite the rant. Rant over. You know what grinds my gears? You know what, Balor? I think Balor lost like the last 2% of his body fat. I could have sworn he looked like he lost every inch of body fat he has, and he has nothing left.
Yeah.
Absolutely nothing left.
He was like, what, tag team Gargano?
The hardest thing about being a Finn Balor is that you are so good, it is your job to elevate everybody else around you so that they can finally compete at your level. Nobody can touch Finn Balor. Not a single person there can touch him. He's that damn good. So he has got to teach them how to come after him. How do you be as good as Finn Balor? How can you have a match that is as good as what Finn Balor can put down? That is his job right now as a veteran, as a guy who's been to the main roster and has now come back and is establishing himself in NXT again. He has to elevate everybody to his level, and it's the hardest job in the world.
Elevating is great, man. I elevate people at AfterBuzz TV, wrestling and sports, and AfterBuzz TV series of shows. However, I have to get my stuff in, right? I want Finn to win once in a while. Is that too hard? I don't mean Damian Priest either. That doesn't count. I want actual feuds, man. Come on. Is that too hard, Brandon? Is that too hard?
Maybe. I don't know. Maybe.
Did you just bury Damian Priest?
No, I am saying they had one match and it was over. That's what I mean. You gotcha. Can take that as burying as much as you want.
Gotcha.
Want a feud, good sir. Gotcha.
All right, John Cena for After Buzz.
I'm a face. I'm not a heel. Fit the chat. Look, I hope Hobo takes over. No, I'm just kidding. So next week we have Adam Cole, Bay, Keith Lee. Both titles are on the line. If Karrion Kross does not get involved, who do you guys got?
Keith Lee.
With a bullet. Bam.
Keith Lee.
Bastion's
glory.
I don't know. You still got the Undisputed Era. They're still back there. The Wolves, they circle. The numbers game is real.
Loomis can jump in.
Loomis is now everybody's partner. He was Dream's partner. Now he's Lee's partner. He's everybody's weird.
We're not going to see Dream for a while. I'm just letting you know. So he needs a partner. Like, you know. Loomis is a partner. I know. I'm saying Loomis, if he's doing that gimmick, he needs a partner. I'm just saying. Ooh, okay. I feel and anyone could win this one. I would love to see Keith Lee. I feel like he could be the face of the brand. I see him being like the Today Show like guy for the NXT brand. Or so, but Adam Cole being the longest running champion, is that the worst thing?
Not for me, no. I actually think that Keith Lee holding both the belts is actually probably the best thing for him until he loses them and moves to the main roster. Adam Cole is not going to go anywhere. NXT is his home. He fits best in NXT. I think he's going to stay there, but Keith Lee has the main roster in front of him. They've definitely established him as a guy to be watching since the Royal Rumble, especially with Brock Lesnar giving him the eyeful, putting him over the way he did. Keith Lee is the one who's going to move on to the main roster and become somebody that everybody is well-versed with.
Cool. So, before we get out of here, Haywood Wong has a question for you, Brandon. He goes, would it be gimmick infringement if Brandon morphs into Robert Baines?
It's tough. Questions, man. Multiple personalities is the most difficult thing I've had to deal with. I have conversations with myself on the daily, managing all the people that are in my head. My dogs are barking and my bells are ringing.
Matt Hardy's in the chat. Yo, but seriously, I want to thank you guys for tuning into this edition of the NXT After Show, exclusively on AfterBuzz TV, wrestling and sports. I'm going to take my cue from Hamza Khan and get down with my shoot throwing acumen. But in the meantime, Hamza, where can the world find you online?
Hey, all my social media is exactly the same at this point. It's Hamza_mania. Hamza, Humza underscore mania, MANIA.
What? Brandon Taylor.
Well, you can find me on social media at Baines Destroy. My Patreon is real. And once again, it's patreon.com/sandwichchamp. And right now, with all of the things going on in social media and the wrestling community as a whole, taking a minute to reflect on certain issues that it has, I just want to say that my wife and I are helping to fight that a little bit with the Safe Wrestling Collective. That's safewrestlingcollective.org. We're working on putting some safeguards in place to protect people in the industry and promote those who would be in a difficult position otherwise. We're trying to make this industry a little bit better. That's safewrestlingcollective.org.
Beautiful. Yeah, professional wrestling has given so much for me since I was a little kid. You know, didn't have much friends. I got to watch entertainment for hours, and it's been enamored to me. And hearing what's going on has been real difficult for me as a fan, and it's best for me to step back and listen to stories and really just take the positive road and understand that with your initiative, your wife and you are starting, that there is safe havens out there. So I respect that. Hamza, did you want to say something real quick?
Or? I just want to say respect, man. I absolutely love that. And I'm so happy you guys are doing that. And it's just, you know, respect, 100%.
Thank you.
True. And if you guys want Hobo back in the mix of things, make sure we know in the comments below. But until then, my name is Flobo Boyce. You can follow me on Twitter at Flobo Boyce, on Instagram at Flobito, Flobito.com. I too have a Patreon. So if you have some cash after going to Sandwich Champ, please help me out at patreon.com/Flobo Boyce. Tomorrow's my birthday. Probably won't read those texts and tweets right now, but definitely by the end of the week, I'll get to it. Stick around for AEW Dynamite right here on AfterBuzz TV Wrestling and Sports. But until next time, buzz you later.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.